Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, problem drinking comes in many forms. It can destroy lives and families, or it can be a situation where a person is drinking a wee bit too much, but somehow can't stop that. And there is a pill that can help with that. It's called naltrexone, and the writer Annabel Fenwick Elliott has been taking it. Annabel, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Prior to discovering this drug, how would you have categorized your drinking habits?
I'd say pretty excessive. I went through phases of drinking very heavily. So a bottle of wine a night, every single night after work, and more if I was traveling or on holiday. And then I'd sort of go through phases of complete abstinence because I could not moderate.
So right.
I was doing for a great many years.
Yeah. So the odd glass of wine wasn't really an option for you.
No, never. I've never been really that person. No, I either want to get to my sweet spot or not at all.
Yeah. And was that causing problems for you in your life?
Probably not as many as it could have, which is why it went on for so long. I was high functioning. I'm a journalist. It didn't ever really interfere with my work. It probably interfered with some of my relationships, but I was basically getting away with it. It just was making me feel rubbish a lot of the time. So,
did you start searching for varieties of treatment? Now, I know from having read the piece that you wrote that you weren't particularly keen on the AA way of pursuing things. So how many other options immediately presented themselves?
None, really. I did, in my sort of darker moments, look into AA a few times. I think I actually even went to one meeting once many years ago. And it really just was not for me on any level. I've had therapy generally for sort of other things, depression, and it's come up. And all my therapists have told me, yeah, you need to stop drinking. But I never did for very long. And I didn't come across anything else, any other options, really. So I kept kind of operating as I was.
Right. And so then how did you hear about naltrexone?
So I read an article about it by one of my favourite journalists and was very intrigued, called up the clinic that she mentioned in her article and said, I really want to try this and I want to write a piece myself about it. Fulfilled their criteria pretty easily and was prescribed the medication and then took it. And it was remarkable how fast it worked.
Mm. Now, do they prescribe this medication just as a standalone thing, or is it in conjunction with a kind of a therapy program?
So the Sinclair method, which is sort of what I've been following, their service does provide counselling for, I think it's 6 weeks alongside. I actually didn't do that. I've done a lot of therapy in my time. I sort of know why I drank. I am well aware of all my demons. So I didn't even do the therapy, but it does come alongside therapy. But the basic idea is that you don't change anything about your drinking. You keep drinking as usual, but you take this pill an hour before you start. And very, very quickly, it severs the reward path in your brain and stops the dopamine hit that you get from drinking. And so within literally a couple of days, I didn't want any more. I was kind of done. I didn't feel like drinking. I would have a glass and then that would be it. I wouldn't want to finish the next one.
Yeah. So describe how that felt. But, you know, the difference between when you used to drink before and how you'd drink when you'd taken the drug.
So before, I'd get that lovely fuzzy feeling. I've got ADHD, which is a big reason, I think, why I used to drink so much. My brain's a bit blah all over the place. By the end of the first glass of wine, all of that noise has slowed, quietened down. I used to get sort of a euphoric rush and then the moorishness, the more and more and more. I'd need more and more because I didn't want the feeling to go. And then the first time I took naltrexone, I poured a glass of wine It tasted like wine. It looked like wine. I did get the sort of relaxation effect. But the euphoria never hit me. It was a very strange feeling. I poured myself another glass of wine, sort of expecting it to kick in, and it didn't. So sort of a part of me was like, oh, okay, well, this isn't doing the thing that it used to do anymore. Boring, which is why you don't keep drinking, which is why you've got absolutely no desire to have another. But honestly, mostly it was just huge relief, because I did that for a few nights in a row. And by the third or fourth night, I just was like, it's not doing it for me. Goodbye. And didn't feel like it anymore.
Yeah. So is it like you can get drunk?
Oh, yes.
But you're kind of not enjoying getting drunk.
Yeah. So you definitely don't want to take naltrexone, drink a bottle of wine. Although I'd be surprised if you would. You really, it is like a feeling of having had too much cake and someone offers you another slice and you're really full. You just, it would be very hard to drink a whole bottle of wine on this, for me anyway. But if you were to, you would still test positive on a breathalyzer. You would not want to get into a car. Does all that sort of physical stuff, but it just doesn't do that. Doesn't do the Moorishness.
Yeah. So is it a case that one takes it every day, or you take it if you're anticipating you're going to be in a situation where alcohol would be present?
So if you are a hardcore alcoholic, and it kind of works, apparently, according to the doctors I've spoken to, kind of across the spectrum, I think if you're at the very difficult end, you probably need to take it for a while for that connection to be broken. For me, it was quite quick. But then after that, you're only supposed to take it an hour before you drink. So if you're not drinking anymore, which I'm now not, apart from on special occasions, I don't take it. So the rest of the packet is just sitting in my drawer. If I am going to an event, because I hate socializing, I do plan to drink, which I still do, I'll take naltrexone, have a glass of wine. It does relax me a bit. It does make me feel better and more normal, but I won't drink anymore. And so that's really now what I sort of keep it for. It's not something you need to take every day for the rest of your life by any means.
Yeah. Now, what you just said there, a lot of people might find that, you know, you have to go into social situations where you might know people that well, you do know them and you know just how tedious they are, and you only drink to make them seem more interesting. Does that make those situations more difficult for you now?
Yes and no. I think it's not a bad thing, though. I did my first experiment with this when I went to a children's party, and this is the first time since being on this medication, and I took an naltrexone and I went there and I said no thanks to the wine. Everyone was drinking until sort of halfway through, and then I was like, okay, I'll have a glass just to sort of fit in. I had the glass of wine. It really did make me feel more relaxed. I dropped my shoulders. Maybe that was kind of partly placebo, but it doesn't block everything that alcohol does. So it kind of worked and it did its job. But then I really didn't want another one, and then I just went home instead of get plastered, which is what I would have done before, and stayed a really long time talking to really tedious people who I'd probably never see again. So, it's not a bad thing for me that it worked out like this.
So, but at the same time, if you've some event that day, does it require a little bit of willpower to take the pill?
Yes. So a lot of people point this out. It does take willpower, just like, you know, abstinence or going to AA does. What I find so good about this, though, is that I can take the pill when I've still got good intentions. You know, I usually have good intentions at the beginning. And then I just know that for the next sort of, I think it lasts about 10 hours, 10, 12 hours max. There is no point in trying to get twisted because it just won't work. Whereas if you're just using willpower alone and saying, I'm not going to drink, but then you get to the party and then you freak out, and then that's sort of where it goes off. I think for me, it's much easier just to be like, right, take it, boom, and then don't need willpower for the rest of the night.
Yeah. And you said, though, that you will still occasionally drink. So what's your criteria for choosing situations where you won't take it?
So now this is very much against the Sinclair method, I should point out. In my mind, I haven't had it yet, but if I go on an amazing holiday and there is loads of lovely wine and I just want to get hammered again in my life, then I won't take it, and I'll give myself that evening. That's not recommended because it can just sort of reestablish that connection there that you've broken with this medication. But then you can just go back and, you know, take it the next time you drink, and you won't get that feeling. So it's a bit of a cop out, and it's not necessarily what you're supposed to do, but it is also how a lot of people do take this medication.
Yeah.
Is on an ad hoc basis. You know, there are people who don't want to quit and go teetotal. They just want to cut down. And that's really, really good for this too. And in my mind, that's a lot easier than AA. I can never drink again. Alcohol is evil. I just never wanted to go down that road. So it's sort of a bit of a safety blanket.
Yeah. How long did it take for you to break that connection? You know, and I'm sure you're familiar with this, that kind of slightly giddy feeling one gets before you've even opened the bottle of wine. But, you know, it's Friday afternoon and there's only 2 hours to go, kind of thing.
Yeah, the anticipation. Honestly, it was only, I'd say, 4 nights. And then
wow,
my plan was to continue drinking normally every night for 2 weeks. And I sort of, by the third night, I was like, I don't feel like it. I don't want it. It doesn't do it for me anymore. So your brain is just not motivated. It's amazing. And then I got to night four, I think it was. I tipped the rest of the glass down the sink because I just don't want it. It's just not doing it. And then after that, I didn't because you are still left with that, you know, sour taste in your mouth, and then the feeling in the morning of just being a tiny bit poisoned, even really from one glass, I will feel it. And it wasn't worth it for me anymore. So I actually stopped on the fourth night. And as I said, with the pills that were sitting in my drawer. So it was really, really fast for me, and it can be for lots of people, I've heard.
Given though that you'd be drinking so regularly for quite a long time, did you feel afterwards, then after that fourth night, that you were missing something?
Yes, and this is why I think therapy would be so important for someone who's not done therapy or dealt with this. I already know what other things I can do to help my mad brain. So I will now read a book or watch a show or do painting or whatever. But I think if I hadn't done any of that work, and it would have been quite jarring and just boring, you know, all of a sudden you don't have that thing every night that made your brain go to sleep. You know, every time I've given it up before in the past, it is boring. You have to replace it with something else.
Mm. Does naltrexone have any side effects? Because I'm surprised it's not better known.
So, me too, honestly. It's staggering. The only side effect I experienced, which is a good one, was that it also made me not crave junk food. So I noticed on the nights that I took it, because it basically stops that pathway for anything that gives you a big addictive dopamine hit, and junk food is the same thing. So I think I had a square of chocolate and then was like, no, I'm done. It is licensed in the UK for gambling. It works on gambling. But I think if you were to do exercise the night you took it, you probably wouldn't get that same rush from exercise, because same thing, dopamine. But it does, it runs out after 10 hours. So you're back to normal again, you know, in the morning. Some people can get, you know, nausea. I've heard, I didn't get anything like that. The side effects are, I've heard, mild in some people and not at all in others. And I didn't have any side effects like that.
Personally. Yeah. God, that's really interesting. Thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Annabel Fenwick Elliott, a freelance writer and editor. Annabel, thank you very much.
Sure.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.